I want to talk to you just a little bit about teaching the Bible and applying God's Word to life, and also integrating Bible study and Bible teaching in different areas of your ministry. I've included for you here a little article I wrote on the second coming of the Sunday school. We've been dealing with the second coming of the Scriptures, but if you'll notice here, the expression second coming is almost always connected with the return of Christ. He is coming again. The second coming of the Sunday school means exactly what you could imagine. It is the second coming of the evangelistic Sunday school. We credit the modern day Sunday school movement to a man by the name of Robert Raikes in Gloucester, England, who lived a little more than 200 years ago. Raikes was born in 1736 and was a successful newspaper editor by the age of 22. Mr. Raikes was able to express his concern for helping others in his newspaper, the Gloucester Journal. His first class of boys was conducted in the kitchen of a Christian woman named Mrs. Meredith. After much opposition to the idea, Mr. Raikes found a friend in John Wesley. Wesley's wholehearted recommendation of the work of the Sunday school was a great plus for Mr. Raikes, of course. And Mr. Raikes was certainly not the first person to gather people to hear the Word of God, but he was a man used of God to place emphasis on this particular work. At the time Robert Raikes died in 1811, there were more than 400,000 people enrolled in Sunday school all across England. Today, men like Dr. Peter Masters at the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London gather more than 1,000 pupils for Sunday school every week. Yet very few churches conduct Sunday schools. The Sunday school movement rose to its greatest heights in America after the first recorded class was conducted by William Elliott in Oak Grove, Virginia in 1785. Today, in most places, Sunday school is void of evangelism and is marked by passive compliance to a routine gathering of the same people week after week who hear the same scriptural instruction followed by little or no effort to reach the lost. And we need to pray for the second coming of the evangelistic Sunday school. And there are 60 million school-aged children in America, and more than half of them have never been in any kind of Sunday school class. A mighty Christian army is needed and must be trained to reach this generation. It can be done with the second coming of the Sunday school. Not only do we need to gather the lost to hear the Word of God on the Lord's Day, we need to take the Word of God to people during the week. And the same Bible lesson given on the Lord's Day can be given for the second time during the week. At this present time in our church, we have more than 130 Bible classes that are conducted during the week. And we use the same Bible teaching instruction that we use on the Lord's Day. A number of years ago, God put in my heart a desire to put in print things that could be used to teach the Bible. Now, we know that's the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And we're not teaching literature, we're teaching the Bible. But we're using helpful tools to teach the Bible. And in these helpful tools in teaching the Bible, God can bless, and I believe that we can further the cause of Christ. I really believe that. And I want to talk to you a little bit about these things. But I'll show you something here. We have a full-length book for every series that has 13 lessons. And also, we have a teacher's guide that has lesson aims and notes on how to teach these particular lessons for the teacher. The teacher's guide is prepared in a loose leaf folder so that the teacher can take out of this folder the teaching notes he or she may want to take along with their Bible on the time they're teaching the lesson. In addition to that, there's always a student guide that every student can use that has readings from the Bible that can be done in preparation for the Bible lesson on the Lord's Day. For example, things to be read in background, things to be read on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and then notes on the Bible lesson that are going to be taught. And as the Bible lessons are taught, they can keep up with it through this study guide. In addition to those three things, on the website, faithforthefamily.com, we have a website, and you have a code that you can use here and find on that website the Bible lessons in visual form given for every one of these series. In other words, if you purchase something and you want to use it, you can not only have the full-length book to guide you with the Bible lessons, you can have the student guide that each person in the class can use. You have a teacher's guide for the teacher. The teacher can go online and actually watch the lesson being taught in preparation for that. And I thought I'd just share with you a few things here. And it looks like in no particular order, but I'll show you a few of the books. And let me start here with the Psalms. I'm trying to go through all the Psalms. I now have three volumes. I'm finishing the fourth volume. And volume one, Our God and His Children, Psalms 1 to 13. Volume 2, His Way is Perfect, Psalms 14 to 24. Volume 3, The Glory Due His Name, Psalms 25 to 37. Now, in all these full-length books, we have the student guide, and we have the teacher's guide, and we have the online Bible lesson presented. Each lesson is on a particular psalm and in the Psalms. We also have an entire series on the 23rd Psalm. There are 13 Bible lessons on the 23rd Psalm. This is one of the favorite things. And if you're just starting out with these kind of lessons, this is something where people like to start in a book on the 23rd Psalm. And it has all the things I've talked about having provided. I have two volumes on Ecclesiastes, the conclusion of the whole matter. And we take each chapter and each verse through the book of Ecclesiastes and deal with this sermon given by the preacher, Solomon, the son of David. It's a sermon on life, and there are separate study guides for each of these two volumes, separate teaching guides for each of these two volumes. This is something that university students have been really excited about, and very few people know much about the book of Ecclesiastes, and it's something I spent a lot of time working on and writing, and it's been used in a broad sense through our Sunday school. The Bible lessons are prepared for young people around 6th grade, 7th grade up, all the way through adult ages. And along with all these lessons, I have some character studies. This one on the life of David, one on the life of Joseph. The life of David is volume 1, what will be 3 volumes on the life of David. But this is volume 1. The life of Joseph has been something that people have really enjoyed. The book that I wrote recently that has been probably used as much as any book is A Door of Hope. And this is a study of the book of Hosea, Bible lessons through the entire book of Hosea. And our people have enjoyed this greatly. If you've never studied this particular series, I think it's one that you'll like and you'd like for your people to get hold of. And especially in the moment we find ourselves in human history, this door of hope is encouraging for people. Here's a book I spent 20 years writing. Doesn't seem like 20 years work, but I worked on this for 20 years. I remember giving the manuscript to Dr. Hudson. He gave it back to him and said, "You can do better than that." But I worked on it for 20 years. It's one of my favorites. It's on Habakkuk, Lord, Send a Revival. And the entire series could be done 13 weeks prior to the revival meeting you planned or the series of meetings you planned praying for revival. Or you may put it right in the middle of that. But there are 13 Bible lessons dealing with the message of the book of Habakkuk. Now remember, for every one of them, there's the student guide, the teacher guide, and also we have the online study. Here are the miracles of Jesus. And there's 13 lessons in each volume. There are 2 volumes on the miracles, volume 1 and volume 2. Our people have enjoyed that so much, and other people have enjoyed it also. Here are 2 volumes on the parables. And we take the parables, 13 in one volume and 13 in another, and we have the student guides and all involved in that. Here's a series I did and prepared on strengthening thy brethren. Remember that Peter was told by the Lord after his conversion to strengthen the brethren. So we took 1st and 2nd Peter, and On the study of 1 Peter, I did 2 volumes. There are 26 lessons, and each volume has its own study guide and its own student guide, rather, and its own teacher's guide, and the lessons are previewed online. And then this is 2 Peter, the family of light, precious faith. And our people have certainly enjoyed that. One of my favorite things is the book of Jude, Earnestly Contending for the Faith. And this is one of the first books I wrote, but it's been widely used. Some men have been in the ministry for many years said that this, they thought, was the finest thing that I'd written on the book of Jude. And I think your people need to study that. I have also a series on faith, Have Faith in God. And this deals with the 11th chapter of Hebrews into the 12th chapter, dealing with the faith of Jesus Christ and concluding the author and finisher of our faith. But we take each of those characters given in Hebrews chapter 11 and deal with that. Then here's a book on 1 John. We have passed from death unto life. And this is something we've used not only in the Bible teaching setting, but also with our follow-up and discipleship, taking people through the book of 1 John. Here's something I wish every church would go through. This book has been used quite extensively in England in some of the churches there. It's called Becoming a First Century Church. The title reads Becoming a 21st Century Church, and then we X out 20, Becoming a First Century Church. As somebody says, we've got a great 21st century church, I say, well, you're just 2,000 years off, you know? And we need to get back to the first century church. So what was the first century church like? And I have an introduction here by Charles Spurgeon. His works, of course, are not copyrighted, and I didn't get a chance to ask his permission, but I know I could do this. But if it's worth reading just the first introduction here of Spurgeon's message on apostolic Christianity. And then we deal with the first century church. What was the church like there? And then other subjects, the measure of the church, the power of the first century church, the authority, the doctrine, the structure. How was it structured? People say, why should we join a church? Well, we deal with that. They joined the church in the first century. The prayer life, the worship, the preacher, the vision, all of that is dealt with in this. Then here's a book we use in with our discipleship. We have what we call Timothy teams. And someone takes this material and goes through this with a new convert. And it is truths every Christian needs to know. And there are 13 chapters with 13 different truths every Christian needs to know. I remember writing this book, and I said to Dr. Robertson, I'm writing a book that's almost ready to be published on things every Christian needs to know. And Dr. Robertson said, weak, weak, very weak. And I said, what do you mean? He said, that word things, that's a weak word. You need a stronger word. He said, how about truths every Christian needs to know? I said, so it's truths every Christian needs to know. You know, when Moses thundered from the mountain and said, that's it, brother, that's it. Then there's a lot of confusion about issues. And we need to deal with the issues of life answered from the Bible. So, what does the Bible have to say about alcohol as a beverage, about going to war, about homosexuality, about abortion? I remember when I wrote the chapter on abortion, I gave it to two medical doctors to read to make sure that everything medically correct that I dealt with in those chapters. And so, I think our people need to know where the Bible speaks on the great issues of our day. And this is one book that has maybe outsold all the others. I don't know. That's what I was told a while back. Issues of life answered from the Bible. And there's a picture on the front, of course, of Abraham and Lot's conversation before Lot chose the wrong thing. And then here's a book that I've used for years. I gave these talks to couples getting married, and so I finally just put it all in a book, The Christian Home, and I give it to couples I'm counseling and say, just read this and we'll talk about it. But there are 13 lessons on the Christian home, and I think this has been helpful for people. Then here's a book on personal evangelism and soul winning entitled Following Christ and Fishing for Men. Following Christ and Fishing for Men. Become a Faithful Witness. And we begin with lesson number one on who is Jesus Christ. And we need to know that Jesus Christ is God. And we have a training manual for that, of course, a teacher's guide and a student guide, and then the lessons are presented. And you ought to take your church through this and teach your people how to win souls. Here's the book I wrote after the death of our five young people. I really did this to help my own heart. And a lot of people have gone through a lot of heartache and suffering have used this book. But it's called The Treasures of Darkness. What treasure God has for us in darkness. And I included in this a number of the things I've dealt with through the years. The treasure of darkness, his ways of past finding out. When we come to wit's end, the patient and comfort of the Scripture. God is always at work. Through the valley of the shadow of death, God bears us on eagle wings. The road to Jerusalem always goes through Ziklag. Out of the eater comes forth meat. His way is perfect. When we're passing through the valley of Baca, the school of hunger, and God meant it unto good. And so this has been given to lots and lots and lots and lots of people. We just gave copies of it to many of the people in the church in Canada where they've gone through a tragic thing recently, and to the families, family there. I gave copies to all the people, and I hope it'll help them. Some of the men work with me in designing all the covers. I like the covers to say what's inside the book. Dr. John Phillips was especially thrilled with the covers of these books, and he gave some very encouraging words to me. He said, I enjoy the covers because the cover tells you what I'm going to find inside. And we've tried to use biblical language as much as possible. And so we're up to 26 or 27 volumes of this now and have about 40 on paper that I want to do. The other day I said, I'm never going to write another book. I'm just not going to do it. I'm just not going to write another book. And these Bible studies, that's enough. You know, they're used in our Sunday school. They're used in home Bible studies. They're used in our second hour, we call it, in the 130-plus classes. They're used in jails and schools and nursing homes. And I said, enough. You know, I've been a slave to this editing and writing long enough. And I said to Evelyn one night not long ago, honey, I'm finished. I was up to about 1:30 in the morning trying to finish this most recent book on the fourth volume on the Psalms and having a tough time, and I'm just finishing it up. And I said, when I finish this one, I'm done. She said, I thought you were going to do all the Psalms. I said, well, I had that idea. Well, she said, well, look, you've got four volumes already. I said, you were going to write a book on for Baptist Distinctive. Yes, and you were going to do one on the life of Christ. Yes, but I just, and you were going to do other books of the Bible. Yes, but not anymore. I'm just finished. She said, okay, I understand. You've got enough for years for somebody to do it now. So we went down to Dalton, Georgia, to meet my son to pick up one of our grandchildren. Matt's in Atlanta. He'll be here, God willing, tomorrow, to bring him back up here, the grandson back up here. And we stopped at a home furnishing place, and my wife got to looking at things, and there was a fine young man helping us, assisting us there. And I gave him a gospel tract, and he said, thank you. He said he was a Christian. And I asked him what church he attended. He told me it was a Baptist church. And he followed us out to the car. When I got to the car, I had one of these booklets, God So Loved the World, that's an extended work on salvation. We have that online in about, I guess, 12 or 14 different languages. So people can go online and listen to the extended presentation of the gospel. And we've presented that God So Loved the World booklet. I'd like people to have a copy of that if they don't have it. Maybe we can bring them in here and have them available in a moment if you can find it. But anyway, I gave it to him. He looked on the back and he said, Faith for the Family. And I said, yes, that's a website we have. He said, do y'all have anything to do with Sunday school and Bible study literature? I said, yes. He said, man, our church uses that, and we're right now in that book on Have Faith in God. And it's changed my life. It's stirred us up. Our whole church is stirred up because of it. And Evelyn was standing there beside me. And he said, do you tell those people that we appreciate them putting that out? And I said, I will. And he said, do you know the people that write it? I said, I do. And he looked and saw my name and said, you're the guy that writes those things. He said, man, you made my day. And my wife said, no, you made his day. And so when I got back in the car and he was gone, she said, so you're not going to write anymore of him, huh? She said, don't you know the Lord sent that boy to you? That you'd just stop at a place in the middle of the highway to go in, and it just so happened that a young man would say that to you. And I'm not claiming anything good about it. I'm just saying, may God use it for His glory. And I hope you will use these things, because I think many times in a Bible teaching Sunday school, we've gone to the lowest level. And well-meaning people are in there. I don't mean to be rude about it, but they're in there, well-meaning people. And they're teaching like this. Well, Bill, what do you think about this? Well, I think what you think about it. And what do you think about it? Well, I think we all agree on it. Carl, what do you think about it? Carl says, I believe the same thing you two guys believe about it. And have you heard the latest story about my grandson? Or, you know, this type of thing. And we can do a better job than that.
Amen.
And we need to teach our people the Word of God and teach them how to use the Word of God. We need to get people to teach it. So I said one day, just sort of off the cuff, I said, this is ridiculous. All of us sit here and listen to these Bible lessons, and then we don't do anything with it. How many of you will go take the same Bible lesson we have on the Lord's Day out somewhere and teach it again a second time? Now, how about just getting a handful of you to do it? And a handful said we'd do it. Now we're in 32 nursing homes, every jail, 38 schools, all the boys and girls clubs, banks, insurance companies, workplaces, and God is opening up a door. Some weeks we have more than 2,000 people just in those Bible studies. We don't count that in our Sunday school. But God is working. And I believe as God's Word increases, God's work is increasing, and we'll see the increase of the salvation of souls. And we're seeing that. Don't be frightened by this. Let's unleash people. And let the Word of God be unleashed. Now, somebody said, well, what if you have somebody out there and they want to make their own little church? If you attempt anything, you're going to run some risk.
Yeah.
Have you ever been disappointed? Sure. I said to Dr. Keene earlier, you know, we're always battling on more than one front. When World War II was being fought, there was war in the Pacific. There was war in Europe. There was war in North Africa. There were many different fronts. And I don't remember when we were just fighting one thing. There's always something going on. Always. But God didn't want us to stay near the shore. He wants us out in the deep. And may we launch out into the deep. You say, I don't know if we could do that. Why don't you just get one class outside your Sunday school? Just one. Let us help you get to one school. We've had a ministry at the University of Tennessee for nearly 20 years. We are registered with the University of Tennessee. We have access to all the buildings the university people have access to. We are a registered group down there with Christian volunteers. We've used the University Center for meetings and taken our choir down there and had lectures down there. We've invited them out for creation science lectures, and we've had professors come for that. We've had some of those professors saved and baptized, and numbers of students saved and baptized. We have a Teens for Christ crusade where we have the Bible studies in the school. We can do that. We have equal access. And if it's student-led and we work through the right means with the faculty and administration, then we can have those clubs. And we've said to our people that we cannot have any of those clubs or any of those Bible studies anywhere unless there's a 12-month church member in that place. They can't operate just on students at Crown College, because if they operate just on students at Crown College, then we can't tell anybody else they can do it. But it can be done. And it is being done.
Amen.
And God is blessing it. And we have 3 months, 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 3 months. That's almost as bad as Peter Piper picked peppers. Peter Piper picked peppers. Where's the pick of peppers Peter Piper picked? 3 months, 3 months, 3 months, 3 months, 3 months. But I mean by that, there's enough here to keep you going, get you going for a while. And some people, this boy in Georgia said, 1 week we teach the lesson, and the next week we talk about what we've taught and go over it again. So we take one of your books and make it last a little longer than 13 weeks. I said, whatever you're doing, son, that's great. Just keep it up. And the study that they were in at the time was this one, Have Faith in God. And he began to tell me about these books and the ones he had studied and what God had done in speaking to his heart. That was thrilling to me. That was thrilling to me. And I want to encourage you to take this material and use it